Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I go right. I went the right way, was left. Cause the scribbles look so sad. And who says you can't win them all if you try?
Thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands.
thousands of you who listen live from around the globe, and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I'd like to say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the true platform for black empowerment and liberation. This is your platform. This is the Star and Crescent Report. And today's subject is titled, It's Almost Over, A Look at a World on Edge. Now, we had the show scheduled live for Tuesday, but we had a bad storm come through here, and it knocked down a lot of power, the internet, everything in our area. And what's crazy about the situation is the same thing happened this morning, and my wife and I, we were almost panicking. I was like, isn't this ironic? We're going through the same thing. Somebody hit a transformer this morning and knocked the power out. And I was saying, man, I thought I was going to get a chance to talk to the people live. I'm getting my voice back a little bit. You can still hear it's still not completely there, but I'm back. And so if I'm not on the air, something has happened outside my control, black man or black woman, as I always tell you. And you guys don't know what I go through to put this show on. You really don't. And you don't know how many things I have to deal with that are out of my control to put this show on for you all. And that's why I ask you sometimes, if you are able to donate to the Hiram1555 blog and donate to the Star and Crescent Report. You can go to the Hiram1555 blog and donate over there, or you can send a money order in care of Rashid Muhammad to 2310 Truman Avenue, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, and all of your donations help us keep the news going and keep the truth out there. Now, to the show. It's almost over. A look at a world on edge. My voice may be cracking, but I want you to listen to the truth, black man and black woman. I want you to understand. See, I get these little emails from people. They make the work that much harder. I understand what the messenger said when he said, when you're arguing over stuff that I know that you don't understand, it makes the work that much harder. You know, people, they write letters and they send you emails pretending to be in good spirit, but you can read in the letter of what they're saying, and you can see that they are angry at what you're saying, but they can't disprove what you're saying. They claim to be followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but they cannot comprehend the depths of his teachings. And it hurts my heart, because some of them I know are sincere, but as a few brothers always say, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. What I say to any and everyone who listens to the show, and this is without fail, and this is what I continue to say and what I will continue to say, because I know what I have is the truth. If you believe that your perspective, if you believe that what you hold, if you believe that what you have supersedes what is being taught on this show, you are welcome to show and prove. Is that not one of the tenets of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to show and prove? To display the wisdom that God has put in you. And if you cannot display that, if you cannot supersede what is being taught, common sense tells you, as a wise man and woman, what you should do is shut your pie hole and bow to a superior wisdom or a superior understanding of divine. Is that not right? This is the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The main thing, and this ties in, I have to lay this out first. For those of you, I'm talking to so many different audiences, but I have to hit one of the core audiences first. For many of you who hear Messenger Muhammad when he says, we must have land. For many of you who hear Messenger Muhammad when he talks about we must unite. For many of you who hear Messenger Muhammad when he says we must build a government. That's all you hear. You don't look in the depths of what he's saying. And this is what holds you back. This is what has been your stumbling block. You know, Jesus talked about it in the Bible, about that stumbling block. Because people have their mind made up. And when a wisdom that comes to them, it's almost like Joe Blow at the church, who has been brought up in the church. No matter how much wisdom of truth that you present before them, no matter how much knowledge and understanding that you lay out for them, if it goes against what they feel good or hold dear to them, they try to disregard it, denigrate it, or destroy it. Even when they know that it is right. But you can't do this with this. This is why it is not because, let's get something straight. When I stand up here on the air and I tell the entire world to dispute me on the teaching of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, I'm not just talking about to the white scholars. I'm not talking about to just these so-called religious scholars that are outside of America. I'm talking about scholars who are inside America also. I'm talking about these Joe Blows who are out in this country. All of these so-called scientists and professors who all often claim to be on the right path. I'm talking to you too. The phone number never changes. 347-989-0855. I'm so confident in what Elijah Muhammad has delivered in the depths of his wisdom. We don't screen calls. But because it's almost the system, everything is breaking down. And if you go back, listen, a wise man does research, right? A wise woman does research. When the scientists, I'm talking about white scientists, and all of the scientists of the world, when they do their research and they look at things, they look into the depths of things. They're not just surface dwellers. When you look at a mechanic does not just look at the body paint on a car and call it a good car. He goes into the depths of the machinations of that car. And then he'll tell you, oh, this car is a good one. You can buy this one and this one or run on the highway for years if you take care of it. Not like some novice who looks at something, right? And because it may look pretty and may appeal to the eyes, they embrace it, and within a month, 2 months, it's breaking down. You're having more problems with it because you fell in love with the appearance of it and then look into the depths of it. This is what's going on, and this is what has been a stumbling block for you understanding that time moves on. You are not in 50. You're not in 60. You're not in 1970. You're at the culmination of the judgment. And the scientists, as I say, when they look into something, they look into it, not just at it. And they do experiments to see whether or not this can hold water, whether this can hold water. Well, I'm live on the air on a daily basis with this great experiment called the Star and Crescent Report. And I've asked every scholar, regardless of religious belief, to dispute me on any matter that I've spoken on. And if you can dispute and defeat anything that I've said on the air, then I'll come over to your side. But it seems like you have gotten amnesia, you've gotten a blind eye, a deaf ear, and a dumb tongue when it comes to doing this thing live on the air. Because we both know the truth, and we both know the outcome, that you will be the loser. All one has to do is be scientific in your thinking. Go back over the shows and look at how we called everything that you see going on in the Middle East. Look at how we called everything that's going on in the economic sphere of things, the political sphere of things, the geopolitical aspects of things. All of this is encompassed in the theology, the science of the religion. And you should be clapping your hands and thanking God that we're so close to the end. And you should be thanking God for allowing you to be mentally and spiritually and physically alive in the end of the judgment, because it's almost over. And now we're going to look at the world on edge, black man and black woman, to tell you the truth. These white people, they listen to this show. I get calls, and Brother Gerald, Brother Rashid, they can bear witness to this, from these same scholars that you quote on Facebook and on these, they call me. They text me. They write me. And they never dispute what I'm saying. Matter of fact, they add to it. You know, when you said such and such, that's true, but expect this also to happen behind closed doors. But you so-called black scientists, you don't want to accept this because, hell, I know just as much as that nigga know. That's that Yakub mind in you. The devil put his way in you. But we had when I get to one clip, I'm going to play one clip down the line of this show. And you're going to think that this guy from AMTV was listening to the show on a daily basis. Because when you listen to him, anybody who's listening to this show and who's not a novice that listening to this show, will immediately pick up on a lot of the stuff that he says and say, man, Rashid has been saying these things for the longest, and he's been saying it similar to the way this man is saying it now. But again, I ask you, did I come over to what he said, or is he coming over to what Elijah Muhammad said? Huh? This is how we can put all of the excrement to the side, all of the mental and spiritual body waste to the side, and look at things as they are. Is that not right? So America's on the edge. Europe is on the edge. We're on the cusp of multiple wars. We're on the cusp of an economic collapse the likes of which you've never seen before. Because the prodigal sons and daughters of God must be forced to their own. Forced. Listen to me good. What Muhammad says is not that you will come by having the freedom to do so. Right? So if you're not going to come just on the freedom of something, there must be something that takes place, some events that take place that forces you to your own. The life of the prodigal sons, right? Muhammad tells us that that is you and I. And so these events, which are bankrupting America, which is destroying America's political and economic and geopolitical capital, which is showing you the white world, the Western world, as it really is, a succubus, a vampire, a Nosferatu, a Count Dracula, that leeches onto the lives of others and sucks the resources, sucks the brain power, sucks the manpower, sucks the very life of those people to sustain themselves. This should show you that God is justified in removing them in their world, because it is unjust from the very essence of it. You understand? So we're going to look at something. As the show was coming on, and I was looking through some of the clips, I ran across an old clip from, I think, June 12th, 2014, 3 years ago, okay? And it was talking about the situation of the black males in Chicago. And I had no idea that I was going to bring this up in the show, but I have to lay a base for something. Remember, Muhammad teaches us to lay the base and clean up as we go. So we want to get a grand understanding of why God is after America and why America is number one on his hit list for destruction. And we want to understand why America will be tormented exponentially more than the rest of her brethren and sisters around the globe. And we want to see why God will destroy her economic power more so than any others, and why God will bring America to abject poverty and to her knees in international disgrace. Remember that you are the sacred vessels being held in the house of Israel against your will. And you're being abused and misused and mistreated. And God says, and he declared it through the mouth of all of the prophets of old, that he would kill off nations to free you. That he loved you so much that he would come himself. He said the matter of delivering you and freeing you was much too important to leave in the hands of a prophet or an apostle or a messenger, that I would go myself and find them. Right? Is this not Bible? This is Genesis. And he said he would judge that nation who had ill treated you. So you are in love with the black man, the white man's wealth. You're in love with his society. You think that your education will get you a job in America. Well, think about this. Things have deteriorated today to such a level, such a degree. Remember that Mr. John Williams, Mr. Gregory Mattarino, and a host of others says that the true unemployment of white people in America is somewhere around 20-23%. And remember, they said black unemployment is somewhere between 2 and 3.5 times white unemployment. Well, first of all, this should show you that there's no equality in that as it is, as it stands. It should show you that you are not even a third-class citizen if your employment is that high, that much higher than theirs, right? It should show you that there's still color in the eyes of the people who have power and how they look at you. But we're going to look at the situation, because remember that this starts deteriorating, and Muhammad had warned Chicago of what you see now happening with the great conflagration of gangs, the wars, the shootouts, the deadly days. I believe last week 43 people were shot, right, in a span of 2 days. Muhammad says what? Oh, Chicago, you city of hypocrites. He warned them for their rejection of God's messenger in their midst for all those years. And he said God would feed them with the same rejection that they fed his messenger. And now the children of those who rejected the messenger of God are catching hell all over Chicago. But this is a sign of America, black man and black woman. Now I want to go back and play something, because this has something to do with the unemployment. And think about the situation 3 years ago when I play this. And then while you're listening to this, and look at the situation today and how bad that it has deteriorated in America today. So that'll give you an idea of just how bad it has deteriorated in Chicago, okay? I want you to pay close attention. This is a 2.5-minute clip, and then we're going to go to something else. Pay close attention.
Well, tonight, startling new figures about the jobless rate pushing young men to the tipping point. 92% of African-American male teenagers here in Chicago do not have a job, and the trend is headed in the wrong direction for white and Hispanic teens as well. The job's catastrophic. It is very.
I'm going to play that again, because some of you missed the number that she just said. We're going to play this clip again and pay close attention to the unemployment rate of black youth in Chicago 3 years ago. And remember, while you're listening to it, that things have deteriorated so much worse, not just in Chicago, but around America, right? So I want you to get an idea of how God is bringing America to her knees for the mistreatment of you. So listen closely to this. Again.
Well, tonight, startling new figures about the jobless rate pushing young men to the tipping point. 92% of African-American male teenagers here in Chicago do not have a job, and the trend is headed in the wrong direction for white and Hispanic teens as well. The job's catastrophic. It is very bad here, worse than the national average. Political editor Mike Flannery is here with some insight into those numbers. Mike.
Darlene, it is a catastrophe. The shocking numbers released by the Chicago Urban League are one more grim result of Illinois having 600,000 fewer jobs today than we did in the year 2000. Work that teens traditionally did, from delivering newspapers to flipping burgers, is now being done by adults desperate for any income.
High school senior Devontae King is one of the lucky ones. He actually found 2 on and off part-time jobs last year. Combined, he earned less than $1,000, but he was part of the 8% of African-American male teens in Chicago who did find legitimate work. 92% of those aged 16 to 19 were unemployed.
It's a very shocking. I mean, like, if anybody else see them numbers, like, hopefully they'll come together and be like, we need to do something.
The jobless plight of Chicago's black teens, especially males, was analyzed in a new study released today by the Chicago Urban League. Nationwide, 17% of black males 16 to 19 had some sort of job, 12% in Illinois, just 8% in Chicago.
We do the studies because I think most people don't realize how bad the problem is and understand why this should be a prior issue. They think, oh, summer jobs for kids, that's a nice thing. It's not a nice thing. It's a required thing.
I can tell people, like, oh, I got a job. You can get a job, too. You know,
how did that make you feel to be able to tell people you had a job as a security guard?
I mean, it made me feel wonderful.
9 out of 10 young Chicagoans like him, though, don't get to experience that wonderful feeling of validation and achievement that comes when you're able to say, I have a job. By the way, thanks to Diane Latiker at Kids Off the Block for introducing us to Devontae King. Darlene?
All right, Mike, great program over there. Thank you so much. Check in with Jeffrey.
So think about that. That was 3 years ago. And how the situation was that bad and how bad it is now. And Chicago is a microcosm of America. It's a reflection. As a matter of fact, on Press TV, they have a, I forget the guy's name, they have an interview with one of the white scholars. And this guy, he talks about the degradation of America and how violence has overtaken America. But Elijah Muhammad says that because America loves to use the sword, then she would be overtaken by the sword. Because she loves to shed blood, she would see the loss of lives within America. Because she wages war on everybody else, war would be waged against her. That's the Bible. That's Elijah Muhammad. That's what's coming upon America. He talks about the degradation of America and how that foreign policy is a reflection of the inner filth which is destroying America from within. Now, they see this. The white scholars see this. They see a fall of America, right? They see that we're at the past the tipping point. They see, and they're telling you something that we proclaimed years ago, that we have reached the inflection point. And America is in a downward spiral. But you Negroes want to argue. Because you can't see the truth, because you've been blinded by your own arrogance. What a shame. Because this day, there's no idea, no combination of ideas, no combination of nations, partners, or militaries that can stop the idea that God has put forth. Because it must come to be, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not, the word of God must be made whole. And this is why you're seeing the fall in America. This is why the whole world now is bearing witness. Remember when we used to say this years ago? And even these Negroes would say, America too rich, too powerful to fall. They're not saying that today, are they? Are they? Even the people who once proclaimed us to be anti-American are now at the point where they're saying that we're looking at civil insurrection and civil war and the fall of the American Republic. But when we were telling you these things, we were considered on the fringes of things. We were considered to be anti-American. Well, what about these so-called pro-Americans? Are they now anti-American? Now they're coming over to what we're saying? You better believe that it's almost over. And what we're doing right now, we're taking a look at a world on edge. You've got to understand these things because time is not motionless. Time in itself is motion because you can calculate from one point to another point. And you are reading time. But some of us are stuck in a void of 64. 71, and we can't see the culmination of time. Nothing stands still for the. If time were to stand still, then God could not bring forth his word to complete the judgment and bring in something better. Do you understand? I hope that you're following. I hope that you're listening. So I want to play this clip here. This clip is about how America, these are people, white people, giving their take on how America created wealth for white people and helped to concentrate poverty in the black community. No, this is them talking about. Don't get mad at me. This is what they're saying, okay? This is a six-minute clip. And from that point on, we will transition into why God is, well, we're looking at the justification of why God is removing America. Because she is so hell-bent on keeping you from receiving justice. She is so hell-bent on keeping you from receiving an equal share in your labor for this nation. So God's going to just destroy it all. He's just going to destroy it and free you because you have been mesmerized by the master's pendulum that keeps swinging. And you're looking at something that is fool's gold. You're trying to hold on to a society, to a thought, to an idea that has had its time. And there's something so much better on the other side. if you would just persevere, be patient, and stay focused on God and the Lamb of God. Pay close attention to what they are saying. Now, everything they're saying you might not agree with, but listen, they are saying these things now. And that's something. This shows you the power of God, how God can take them from point A and move them all the way down to point M. Is that not right? Pay close attention to what they're saying about government policy against you. Here we go.
You also talk about how when this segregation was implemented through public housing and other policies, it also further exacerbated the conditions in the pre-existing slums where many African Americans lived. Can you talk about the mechanism of that occurring?
Sure. I apologize. It's going to be a long answer, a bit complicated, but let me try to make it as brief as I can. I have to introduce it by telling you that another major federal program that the federal government implemented during World War II and afterwards during the New Deal was the Federal Housing Administration's program to create white subdivisions, white suburbs surrounding central cities across the country. And they built suburbs by guaranteeing loans to mass production builders of suburbs to on condition that those homes only be sold to white families, that no African Americans be permitted to buy homes. So, for example, the best-known example perhaps is Levittown, east of New York, east of New York City, where Levitt built 17,000 homes in the late 1940s and early 1950s, which he could never have assembled the capital to build on his own. Instead, the federal government guaranteed bank loans to Levitt to build that suburb on condition that he sell no homes to African Americans. And in addition, the federal government required that he put a clause in every deed in Levittown that prohibited resale to African Americans. Well, this went on all across the country, and the mass suburbanization of the country. California, the biggest example of subdivisions built all over California on explicit condition set by the federal government that no homes be sold to African Americans. Once this was done, the civilian housing then became available again. There had been a big shortage before the 50s because no civilian housing was built during the war because building materials weren't permitted to be used for civilian construction. And there was a big housing backlog even before the war because of the Depression. So when civilian housing construction began again in the 1950s, and the Federal Housing Administration subsidized whites to move into these all-white suburbs, explicitly all-white by federal requirement, whites began to abandon the inner cities and abandon the public housing, which had been primarily designed for them before that time. There was a public housing beginning in the mid-1950s, the white projects, and there were many, many more projects for whites at that time than there were for African Americans. White projects began to have large vacancies. Black projects had long waiting lists, and the reason was simply that the federal government was subsidizing whites to leave cities. Well, industry then began to leave cities as well. And so the African Americans who were living in public housing became poorer and poorer. Jobs disappeared. And African Americans were unable to gain the wealth that housing ownership created. So these policies resulted in greater poverty of the African American population.
And I wanted to ask you specifically about that, because this really isn't only about residential segregation. As you just mentioned, it really is about the wealth that government policies created for white families that black families did not have access to. So when you look at the racial wealth disparities, the racial wealth gap today, you really trace it to these housing policies that started in the New Deal and that continued in the decades after. Can you really give us a picture of that?
Sure. Well, let me go back to that example I gave a minute ago of Levittown in which is the most famous of these suburbs, these 17,000 homes east of New York City. Those homes sold in the late 1940s and early 1950s for about $8,000, $9,000 a piece. In today's dollars, that's about $75,000 to $100,000. And as I mentioned, only whites could buy it. There were many, many African Americans who couldn't afford it to buy homes in Levittown. $100,000 in today's dollars is about twice national median income. Working class families can afford to buy a home at twice national median income, African Americans as well as whites, but African Americans were prohibited. Instead, African Americans were living in cities and renting apartments. Whites were able to buy these homes. Well, today, homes in Levittown sell for $300,000, $400,000. That's seven, eight times national median income. Unaffordable to working class families, to lower middle class families, whether they're white or black. So the white families who were able to buy into these suburbs that were created all over the country by the federal government, the whites only, gained $200,000, $300,000 in equity appreciation. The next two generations, African Americans who were forced to only rent apartments because they were not permitted to live in the suburbs, gained none of that equity appreciation. In the United States, most wealth of middle-class families is attributable to the equity they have in their homes. So today, nationwide, African American incomes are about 60% of white incomes. But African American wealth is only 5% of white wealth on average. And that enormous disparity, the difference between the 60% income ratio and the 5% wealth ratio, is almost entirely attributable to unconstitutional federal housing policy that was practiced in the mid-20th century.
So, you hear these things and you now see that this was enacted by the highest levels of government. This was a government policy. And for those of you who are into sports, who think that the white man patting you on the back and smiling with you, that he's your friend, and for those of you who think that they love you, and those who hug you when they're doing their political campaigns and talking about, vote for this person. We need X, Y, and Z. Yeah, you know Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks? You know, the one that is always seen in the political realm talking about talking against fascism and talking about we need an inclusive America. Do you know that Mark Cuban lives in one of those neighborhoods? Where it is in the laws of that neighborhood that they cannot sell or resell the houses to African Americans or black people. Do you know that? And he moved there for that purpose. Did you know that? Now put that in your peace pipe and smoke that, Chief. There are so many things that is going on which justifies the removal of America. So God says, through the mouth of his messenger and fall of America, he says, most all of the judgments and troubles which are pointed out in the Bible are pointed at America. Study them for yourself. America, right up to today, with all of her battles with her outside enemies, never loses sight of the inside. Her poor old black slave. She does not want him to do anything. She wants him to be deceived. She does not want him to accept his salvation that Allah is offering the black one slaves here in America. Now, we flip over and Muhammad says this, and we can see this truth because remember they said that this was enacted for decades, right, by the government. And black wealth is only 5%. You say, oh, America is no longer a race. You can be anything you want to be. No, they let certain people be what they want to be because they weigh you. They measure you. And if they don't see you as a threat to them, they will allow you to ascend to a certain position. And if you get in that position and they see you as a threat that you may want to buy NBC, then they bring out all these women there and destroy your image like they do in Bill Cosby. You see? This is how the white man works. And he knows that you're a fool, and he knows that you'll turn against your black brother and sister. All he has to do is put it in your head through his magazines and his media and give a couple of tons, a couple of dollars to talk on this. You understand? Because he made you. And of course he knows you because he made you into who you are. So Muhammad says, you can bear witness to the deadly storms and twisters that are striking America in the areas where some of you live. Can you not see that Allah is after you for the evil done to his people, the black man and woman, the rich, listen to this, the rich, the wealthy, and powerful rulers of America, from the mayors of cities, the police commissioners, up to the president, work to oppose the blacks once slaves return to his own. All of this hastens their doom, as the Bible in Psalms 2:4 teaches us. Now, Muhammad told you that the government was working against you. Every level of government, be it county, city, or state, or federal, every level was set up to keep you from being an equal owner and an equal policymaker here in America. You understand? This gives God the justification for removing such an evil world, such an evil pillar of the world, such an evil nation, such an evil culture. And so God afflicts them with financial ruin. See, he knows that they're greedy. When they came out of the caves of Europe, they started stealing and robbing and occupying. So it comes as easy out of them as a web comes out of a spider. So what do you do, as the book says, when God talks about how he would entice the nations and he would drag them and bring them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, right? He said he would put hooks in their jaws. So with America, how does he expose America? He knows that she's the most evil. She's the most deceptive and the most greedy wealth-wise of all of her brethren nations, right? So if you got a person that's craving wealth, what you do? You remove all the obstacles for them acquiring that wealth, even if those things were protecting them from themselves. So they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, right? They got rid of the other acts, and they started playing Russian roulette with the economies. First America's economy, then the global economy. And now even Jim Rogers is saying that we are in for the worst economic crisis of our lifetime. And they can do nothing about this. This is Armageddon, the arm age of the dawn. Everything is on for war. And it is a very beautiful time, a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the last and the greatest of the messengers of God. You'll see the fear, the terror, and the dismay in the voice, in the eyes, and in the faces of those who have lived deliciously off your misery is coming to them. I want you to listen closely to Mr. Jim Rogers. This is 4 minutes. Listen closely.
One of the things I've always admired about you as an investor is that you don't talk about what should be. You figure out what is going to be, and then you do that. So what is going to be with respect to the stock market? What's going to happen?
I learned very early in my investing careers, I better not invest in what I want. I better invest in what's happening in the world. Otherwise, I'll be broke, dead broke. Well, what's going to happen is this is going to continue. Some stocks in America are turning into a bubble. The bubble's going to come. Then it's going to collapse, and you should be very worried. But Henry, this is good for you, because somebody has to report. So you have job security. You're a lucky soul.
Well, yeah, TV ratings do seem to go up during crashes, but then they completely disappear when everyone is obliterated, so nobody is hoping for that. But so when is this going to happen?
Later this year or next.
Later this year or next.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Write it down.
And what will trigger it?
Well, it's interesting, because these things always...
told a commentator to write his words down and to quote him on this. He's telling them in so many words, you can write this down. I'm saying this. I'm so sure. He said, I've learned long ago not to invest in what I want, I got to invest in how everything is taking place. And he talks about this crash. He said, later this year or next year, write it down. I want you to listen to that. I'm going to play that again. Then I want you to listen to the rest of what he's saying about the economic crash, okay? I got to replay this for you.
One of the things I've always admired about you as an investor is that you don't talk about what should be. You figure out what is going to be, and then you do that. So what is going to be with respect to the stock market? What's going to happen?
I learned very early in my investing career is I better not invest in what I want. I better invest in what's happening in the world. Otherwise, I'll be broke, dead broke. Well, what's going to happen is this is going to continue. Some stocks in America are turning into a bubble. The bubble's going to come. Then it's going to collapse, and you should be very worried. But Henry, this is good for you, because somebody has to report. So you have job security. You're a lucky soul.
Well, yeah, TV ratings do seem to go up during crashes, but then they completely disappear when everyone is obliterated. So nobody is hoping for that. But so when is this going to happen?
Later this year or next.
Later this year or next.
Yeah. Write it down.
And what will trigger it?
Well, it's interesting because these things always start where we're not looking. In 2007, Iceland went broke. And people said, Iceland? Is that a country? They have a market? And then Ireland went broke. And then Bear Stearns went broke. And then, you know, Lehman Brothers went broke. They spiral like that. Always happens where we're not looking. I don't know, it could be an American pension plan that goes broke, and many of them are broke, as you know. It could be some country we're not watching. It could be all sorts of things. It could be war, unlikely to be war, but it's going to be something. When you're watching Business Insider and you see, that's so interesting, I didn't know that company could go broke. It goes broke. Send me an email, okay, and then I'll start watching.
And how big a crash could we be looking at?
It's going to be the worst in your lifetime.
I've had some pretty big ones in my lifetime.
It's going to be the biggest in my lifetime, and I'm older than you. No, it's going to be serious stuff. It's going to be big. We've had financial problems in America. Let's use America. Every 4 to 7 years since the beginning of the Republic. Well, it's been over 8 since the last one. This is the longest or the second longest in recorded history, so it's coming. And the next time it comes, you know, in 2008 we had a problem because of debt. Henry, the debt now, that debt was nothing compared to what's happening now. In 2008, the Chinese had a lot of money saved for a rainy day. It started raining, they started spending the money. Now even the Chinese have debt, and the debt is so much higher. The Federal Reserve, the central bank in America, the balance sheet is up over 5 times since 2008. It's going to be the worst in my lifetime, too. Be worried.
I am worried.
Good, good.
Can the Fed rescue us? Can anybody rescue us?
They will try. They will. What's going to happen is they're going to raise interest rates some more. Then when things start going really bad, people are going to call and say, you must save me. This Western civilization is going to collapse. And the Fed, who's made up of bureaucrats and politicians, will say, well, we better do something. And so they will try, but it won't work. It will cause some rallies, but it won't work this time.
And we are in a situation where Western civilization already seems to be possibly collapsing, even with the market going up all the time. Often when you do have a financial calamity, you get huge turmoil in the political system. What happens politically if that happens?
Well, that's why I moved to Asia. My children speak Mandarin because of what's coming. You're going to see governments fail. You're going to see countries fail this time around. Iceland failed last time. Other countries fail. You're going to see more of that. You're going to see parties disappear. You're going to see institutions that have been around for a long time. Lehman Brothers has been around over 150 years. Gone. Not even a memory for most people. Well, you're going to see a lot more of that next time around, whether it's museums or hospitals or universities or financial firms.
Did you hear what he said? He says, be worried. Yeah. That's why he sees what's coming. So, and Muhammad talked about this, how they would try to run away from this. They would try to go to the east. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that God is going to bring them back to America to deal with them. So he thinks he's safe by going to the east, but he's going to be forced back. He sees what's coming. He said he's taught. That's why his children speak Mandarin. He moved them to China. Why would he do that? This billionaire investor who has made his living in America and is one of the most revered and respected investors in America, why would he pack up and move Fantasia, because he sees something that's coming to America that cannot be stopped. He sees and he knows that America's debt is so exorbitant that, as they had one thing, they said you could stack $100 bills. This is how bad America's debt is. I forget which website had it. It was an economic website. You could stack $100 bills from the bottom of the ocean, and it'll make, 10 trips around from Earth, around the moon and back, the debt of America. The debt of America. Is that not something? Is that telling you something? She won't be able to escape this because she's arrogant, but we got to go to something. Because Mr. Man said, be worried, be very worried. And notice that he's a billionaire, and he and other billionaires, they're making these bunkers. They're trying to run away. They're trying to hide. They're trying to find some way to protect themselves and their wealth from what's coming, right? So Muhammad says, let us submit to him, talking about Master Farad Muhammad, and live in peace with money and good homes and with the friendship of God and the righteous. There is nothing that you would have to fear today. So he said, be afraid. But Muhammad says, there's nothing that you have to fear today. Why? Muhammad's going to tell you why in just a minute. But God himself. See, you ain't got to fear the devil. You ain't got to fear the collapse. You ain't got to fear what's coming after the collapse. You don't have to get you no M16s. You don't have to get your... All you have to do is be firm and be rooted in God. That's your weapon. That's your protection. That's your way out. So Muhammad says, it is useless for us to fear our enemy after the coming and presence of our God, who has power over the very atoms of life. So now he's telling you to trust in a power that has more power than the power that has fallen today. That's hard for most of you, right? And the black calls, I hate these devils. And then you see them marching with devil-made weapons. Is that not right? Out there marching because it's a symbol of power. But what kind of power? It's a symbol of the power of the devil. You ain't got no arms factories. You don't have no weapons manufacturers. So when you get your shotgun and when the devil gives you some, he's not going to give you the best in his storehouse. If he gives you a shotgun, he has a flamethrower that can level a whole block. A drone that can kill you from 9,000 miles away. So he gives you a little buckshot, and you proud and you boastful. Look at my power. I'll kill this devil. Yeah, what you'll do is get a whole bunch of people with like minds killed with this foolishness. Brothers and sisters, we got to attack this stuff with truth. We got to lay it out there and expose this stuff so the entire world will know which way to go. Okay? Okay, listen. He goes further and he says, it is useless for us to fear our enemy after the coming and presence of our God, who has power over the very atoms of life. For it is fear of the white man that will cause our people to eat the fire of hell with the white man if they do not recognize. Listen to this. You got to recognize this, okay? All right? We're going to go back to that in just a minute, okay? I just got to let you know. Remember what he says. Recognize. Remember that key word. So some of you don't remember it, but I'm putting it on your mind and remember. He says, for it is the fear of the white man that will cause our people to eat the fire of hell with the white man if they do not recognize the fact that God, that it is God whom they should fear and not the devil. Stop right there. So we see the word recognize. Let's go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary and see if we find out what that word means. Because you can see it and you can read the word, but if you don't really understand what it means, it does you no good, right? So Muhammad says, let's read this again. For it is the fear of the white man that will cause our people to eat the fire of hell with the white man if they do not recognize that it is God whom they should fear and not the devil. The word recognize means to acknowledge formally, such as to admit as being Lord or sovereign. to admit as being of a particular status, to admit as being one entitled to be heard, to acknowledge or take notice of in some definite way, to acknowledge acquaintance with, not just verbally, but through actions. You understand? So you've got to acknowledge that God has this power over all, not just by lip profession, but by an example that the world may see. And then he goes and says, the world of the white man is now crumbling and coming to naught. The safety of the black man is in his God, not in his weapon, not in a cave, not in a building, not underground, not in a lake, not on land, but in his God. As the Holy Quran teaches us, in this day and time, seek refuge not in land, even though I'm not telling you not to get it. Understand? Because if I say this, but man, don't put words in my mouth. That's not what I'm saying. I'm making a point here that your only refuge today is to seek refuge in God. He says, as the Holy Quran teaches us, in this day and time, seek refuge in Allah, the God of the black man. He is the only place of refuge. Did you hear that? He is the only place. So you can go, why am I telling you this? Because some of you have this thing that if you go to this certain territory over here, that you're not going to be bothered by what's coming. This is not the truth. This will, the Bible, the Holy Quran, Messenger Elijah Muhammad tells you that this will be global. This will be universal. This will be a worldwide famine, a worldwide conflagration, a worldwide economic collapse, right? The judgment will be worldly and will be universally recognized. Not one place will be able to escape this. Otherwise, it wouldn't be called the judgment of the world. It'll be the judgment of most of the world. Is that not right? Right? See, some of you don't understand the placement of words. And this is a hindrance to you if you don't read and understand. So, we'll skip down a little bit, and Muhammad says, she has prepared to put up a mighty battle, but Allah too has prepared, and he is the best prepared. Knowing her, their thoughts before they were ever made, they have not the slightest chance today against the power of Allah that is working against them even through the forces of nature. The white race, listen to this good. This is why you see Africa rising, brothers and sisters. This is why you see the black man rising up here in America. He says, the white race has been disgracing the entire black nation of the earth. Africa is suffering under the same wicked power of the white race and having an awful time trying to rid herself of such a demon. Listen to this part. She will do so and soon. This is why you see NATO deploying troops and weapons in the northern horn of Africa, because they know prophecy. And they know that Africa is about to free herself from this beast. So they import Boko Haram, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all of these things to destabilize, overthrow, and cause terror in the hearts of the people whom God has declared will liberate themselves from this demon. You see how all of this work together? Huh? And then he goes and talks about you. After talking about Africa liberating herself, he says, here in America, Almighty Allah wants to make himself known with both the punishment and the destruction of this mighty, powerful, and rich people. Fear not, my dear black people, for we have Allah with us, and he is a mighty, a strong, and the most powerful one to be feared. Come follow me, and I will lead you to your salvation. You listen to this part again. Here in America, Almighty Allah wants to make himself known with both the punishment of the destruction of this mighty, powerful, and rich people. This is why Jim Rogers is bailing. This is why he's jumping ship, because he sees wealth destruction coming. He sees total poverty. He sees America on vagabond status. He sees the fall of the American Republic and the collapse of America's power and influence globally. You understand? He's no fool. And so he's talking to his people, and he's warning them of what to expect. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And you want to sit around and argue. And we're relating to you all of this stuff in a clear fashion. But this was predicted to come and has come. Now, I'm going to play something from Christopher Green from AMTV. And please overlook the harsh words that he's saying in this clip. But when you listen to some of the words that he says, brothers and sisters, be honest. You'll think that he went and listened to a whole bunch of these shows here on the Star and Credit Report. Not with the vulgarity that he speaks with, but with some of the truth that he's given. Now, he's going to give his perspective in a lot of these things, which we can cast in the dirt. You understand? But on pause with your truth, if you listen closely to what he's saying. All right? Pay close attention.
Hey everybody, I'm Christopher Green. You're watching AMTV Alternative Media Television. It is, of course, June 12th, 2017, and things are heating up here in Arizona. In fact, it's not too bad of a day because I think the high is 91, which is actually amazing for us this time of year. We might even hit the 80s, but we're expected to hit all the way up to like 115 later this weekend. But why am I making this video? Am I making it about the weather? Of course not. I'm making it about what is coming down the line. And I've been reporting on this for going on almost a decade. Now, I'm a former financial investment advisor. I worked for Merrill Lynch during the height of the crisis in 2008, 2009. I saw the worst of it. I was astute enough, smart enough to pull my money out of the market before the collapse officially hit, went to family and friends, told them to get out, had tears in my eyes, told them that they would lose everything, told them that there would be a massive conflagration of events which would basically bring the global financial system to its knees, that major financial institutions were about to collapse, like Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, etc. And at that time, very few people listened to what I had to say. And very few people understood the sheer fact that what was happening was a byproduct of decades and decades of funny money, easy money policies at the Federal Reserve, courtesy of Ben Bernanke. I'm going to set my coffee cup down. Courtesy of Alan Greenspan and others that had created these hyper bubbles that went into the stratosphere, of which the too big to fail banksters profited on, and then ultimately collapsed on its own weight because the whole system had been built on a foundation of sand. So what's changed today, post the greatest financial crash in the history of the world? Nothing. In fact, it's gotten worse. The balance sheet at the Federal Reserve has swelled the debt, has swelled five times its original amount. Barack, since the first crash, the first crisis in 2008 and 2009, Barack Obama doubled the debt, doubled it, while he was the president of the United States. And the stock market, the real estate market, the traditional asset classes have gone vertical. They've gone straight up. We see this even with technology stocks now, with Amazon and Google hitting 1,000. In fact, Apple was just curiously downgraded, just I believe it was a couple of days ago. Stock sold off about 6%. So we are in a hyperbubble unlike anything we've ever seen before, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, in the history of the world, worse than the dot-com bust that we saw 2001, leading into the hyperbolic state that it was in the late 90s. Worse than 2008 and 2009. Because again, the Federal Reserve has put itself in a corner. It has shot its last bullet. So what are they going to do? And what can we expect? Everything's in a bubble. I think that's kind of the glaring point we all need to think about, is everything is in a bubble. Every major asset class has gone straight up. Even digital currencies, which I'm a fan of. I've talked about quite frequently over the last 10 years or so. We saw this coming, the digital revolution, the internet revolution, the social media revolution, all these things we've been at the forefront of. We're looking at Bitcoin prices, Ethereum prices are going straight through the roof. So many different things are happening right now, and people are very uncertain about what to expect. So what do I think is going to happen? Well, like Jim Rogers said just a couple of days ago, he was interviewed, this will be, and I agree with him, the worst financial crash of your lifetime. The worst thing that you've ever seen. Major financial institutions, major institutions like universities and the banking company, major institutions here in the United States will collapse. Political parties will collapse. The old way of doing things will collapse. The government itself will collapse. There will be social disorder. There will be, and this is the overwhelming point, folks, there's going to be massive disruption in the not-too-distant future. But this is what I was thinking about this weekend, because you've heard all this before. You've heard this a million times. I've talked about this. I was one of the first people to talk about this. Again, I was warning about the crash coming in 2008 and 2009 when I wasn't even making YouTube videos yet. It was the inspiration for this channel. The overriding and overarching question people ask is, well, what do we do? What's the good of knowing what's coming? Knowing that there's this great disorder ahead, this birthing, also a lot of opportunity, the birthing of a new economy, a new way of doing business, new technologies, etc. What good is knowing that all this is coming to a head if there's nothing we can do to help ourselves, to improve our own family's financial situation, to improve our own standing so that we survive, you've heard this a million times, thrive, and position your family to succeed in the new economy and the new world? And this is where I've been kind of just thinking interpersonally over the last few days, where I'm disappointed in myself for not giving you guys more tools. We've been raising a lot of alarm bells, and we've done that for a very long time, and I think we've probably been the best at it, because we've drawn a lot of attention to the issue, we've drawn a lot of attention to the criminal banking cartel, a lot of attention to the, you know, to central banking, and all of these hosts of problems, but I haven't really given you guys the tools to empower you. So what I'm saying in this video is that I'm committed going forward, because I want you guys to understand where I'm coming from as I produce more and more content going forward. I'm going to start providing you guys with the tools so that you can take advantage of what's happening. You know, I don't want people just with their heads in the sand. I don't want people just living in fear. I want you to prepare for this disruption. And God knows how much more time we have left. I mean, honestly, folks, as long as the Republic has been around, there typically is a recession every 4 to 7 years. That's the natural cycle of things. We are pushing into year 8 of a hyperbolic, straight, vertical, just insane asylum of a market that has gone straight up. There is going to be a massive reversion to the mean, and it is going to be brutal. It's going to make 2008 and 2009 look like Disneyland. People will lose everything again. And in my strong opinion, I don't think we're going to get this quick yo-yo back to the stratosphere like we did. It's not going to come back. You know, people forget that during the Great Depression, for example, it took over 10 years for the market to right-size itself. It took a world war, World War II. It took millions of people dead fighting that war for us just to break even. A decade long period of time where people were so traumatized and affected by it that my own grandmother wouldn't even spend a penny when she was in her 90s and she barely had any time left. She was still living in fear that there wasn't going to be enough food on the table or she wouldn't be able to afford her rent or the roof over her head. This scarred people internally for a generation, multiple generations arguably. And it's going to happen again as a byproduct of this great disruption, as a byproduct of these new advancements in technology. You know, there are bright spots. There's windows of opportunities. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be crashes and expansions and crashes and expansions. There will be. But you look again at digital currency, for example, which is pretty much hyperbolic itself right now. Bitcoin is up over 300%, I think, in the last 12 months, something in that ballpark. Ethereum is up, I think, a crazy 5,000%. I mean, there's going to be further disruptions. But in it, the world is changing. How do you position yourself? How do you position your children going forward? From a basic level to an economic level. From a survival level, food, water, guns, ammo, bug out bags, your principal residence to your bug out residence. How do you feed your family? How are you going to have a shelter? How are you going to survive disruptions, say, at the supermarket if they stop delivering food? From a basic level all the way to an economic and spiritual level. Well, what do you do with your excess money? How do you invest in gold? How do you invest in precious metals? How do you invest in Bitcoin? How do you invest in Ethereum? How do you do these things? How do you anticipate what's ahead now? And again, the more time we have, and there's plenty of naysayers, but the more time that we have, I would just ignore them, is actually an opportunity. It's a blessing. They're just giving you more time to prepare and position you and your family for what we know is coming. So it doesn't mean, in my opinion, that it's necessarily the end of the world, although I think it could be just as brutal, and I think will be more brutal than what we've seen in a historical context in the past. But it doesn't mean that you just have to sit there without any tools at your disposal and not prepare for what's coming. And so that's what I'm saying today, is that I want you guys to understand the content that I'll be producing in the coming days, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, and my wholehearted commitment to you to empower you guys and gals out there so that you can take advantage of what's coming and prepare yourself. For example, what do you do when a nuclear bomb goes off, God forbid, in a city near you? What do? Do you even know the basics of what you do? I mean, these are the things that I'm going to start talking about. I'm going to give you real actionable lists so that you know. Because, again, when these things happen, you don't want to be the guy running to the grocery store when the grid goes down to buy water or buy food. You don't want to be typing on the internet what to do when a nuclear bomb goes off and you know, the infrastructure collapses. There's not going to be time. Okay, you need to be able to think almost unconsciously, and you need to know what to do in advance. It's the point that I'm trying to make with today's video. So in conclusion, we have the birthing of a new economy. We have this great disruption ahead of us. We don't know how much more time we have left. Probably not much. If I put my best guesstimate to it, maybe we have another year. Maybe we have another two max. But again, we're already in year 8. It's just math. There's going to be at least a recession, if not a giant crash. And what are they going to do? What is the Federal Reserve going to do then? Notice how the Brexit is backtracking already with all this bullshit with Theresa May, and how it's basically they're just pushing back into the New World Order paradigm once again. That's only going to strengthen as a byproduct of a new war, more violence, more terrorism. It's just a part of the program. So we don't know how much time we have left, but I'll tell you this, it's not long. And so the time is now to get all of your ducks in a row, to position yourself, your family, your business, your spiritual life, all these things that make us human and make us all amazing people for what's ahead. So that we're not just living in fear, that we've empowered ourselves, and we've actually positioned our family and friends to excel in this new world, because it's going to be completely different from this current, what we understand to be our existence, what we understand to be the Republic here in America, what we understand to be our economy, what we understand to be our technology, even our humanity. There's so many different levels as we pull back and tear down, you know, deconstruct the house or peel back the onion. Let's hear your thoughts, comments, questions in the box below. And again, I did another video on this.
So you get him talking on many fronts, and notice there's a mathematical certainty. The math is there for the collapse. And now he's talking to his buddies. He said, I haven't given you the necessary tools. He sees a crash coming, and he's warning his buddies. Now, he loves the people whom he talks to. I love you. That's why I'm talking to you. And I'm giving you much more than he could ever give you. And you heard what he said. This thing will be brutal. Who do you hear say that all the time? Right? That's me. The stuff that he was saying, he's telling you certain things that you hear on this show all the time. What happened is, he saw something, he went and looked at something, did the math, saw the numbers, and it shook him to his very core. The same with Jim Rogers. The same with all of these people, and they know that they don't have much time. He said so because of the numbers. They don't have much time left. Satan would come down having great wrath, the book tells you, for he knows he has but a short time, right? Because an old world is dying, and God is ushering in a new thought, a new school, a new way, a new rulership, a new government that is diametrically opposed to the government of the succubus, right? It's almost over. What you're getting right now is a deeper look of a world that's standing on edge. want to go to something. The reason I'm talking to you like this, black man and black woman, is because I just want you to understand where we are. Let's go to a quote by Messenger Elijah Muhammad, okay? If I can find it. Okay, here we are. Messenger Muhammad says, "But I say to you, this time that now has arrived in America of the divine judgment against her, as eyes that fail to look upon, cannot help but see that the divine hand of God is working in America to bring her to a naught and against her on the outside of her border throughout the earth." Stop right here. So now he's talking about, not only is he talking about inwardly, now he's talking about the things that you're seeing going on out on the outside. What are we seeing going on the outside of the border? We're seeing smaller nations to the bigger nations challenging American imperialism. We're seeing them confronting America on the military battlefield. We're seeing them confronting America economically. You sanction us, we'll sanction you. You want to block our economy, we'll ditch the dollar. We'll set up our own. You don't want to give us a loan with the IMF, we'll set up our own banks, the IMF, the BRIC banks. You want to manipulate the gold markets, we'll set up the Shanghai gold markets. You want to sell everything in dollars, we'll set up the Iranian oil boards. We'll set up the Shanghai oil trade. We'll set up the Moscow and St. Petersburg oil and gas boards that sells all of these commodities outside of the dollar. This is what Elijah Muhammad is talking about. You see, he goes further and says, he has within his power, talking about God, to do this, to do just this, to make the world know that he is God and besides him there is no other God. He wants to show the Negro, the American Negro, I should say, that they have a God on their side and that he has come forth as it is written of him to deliver them and to place them again into their own and to destroy not only the powers of their enemies here, but anywhere in the world that opposes them by any nation if they oppose this little selected group of people. Stop right there. So you see turmoil going on in the Holy Land, right? The so-called solidified union of the Arab states under Saudi control has now broken. And they're all fighting each other. Why? Because they funneled for decades after Messenger Muhammad left our presence. They funneled billions of dollars in America for this cause of promoting al-Islam, the Orthodox way, to hook you on what they want and to make you a slave of the Arabs, the white Arabs, instead of the slave of the white Christians. And so God breaks the white Christian power. And now he goes and breaks the white Arabs' power and sets them at variance against each other to show you that there's no cohesiveness in their talk. There's no cohesiveness in their policies. It's only greed and arrogance, hypocrisy, and lunacy in their policy, and they have been derelict to their own people and to their own so-called religion. So Muhammad goes further, and he says, he intends and is fighting against them to bring them to a naught and working in the forces, I should say, using the forces of nature and even the minds and brains of nations against that enemy of his people. I want you to be aware of this thing, which is of truth, that America is under divine judgment, and there is no such thing as turning back, and the scientists of this race see it. Then you just hear Jim Rogers, then you just hear Christopher Green, and know it, but wishes to blind her poor slave to hold him in subjection, to deprive him of the salvation in which God today desires to give to him. So what we're looking at is the total collapse of the white system, regardless of religion. The entire corrupt system is falling. All of the leaders are at variance with each other. And we're seeing the build-up for war. We're seeing a unified front, and we're seeing people make moves on the dollar, whether it was last year or this year. Matter of fact, let's play a clip that happened about, I think, at the beginning of this year or last year, and this will show you that they're moving against the dollar, which is the primary source of power without this power, she cannot fund ad infinitum her military. She cannot bribe the nation, right? She cannot manipulate the markets if the dollar falls. Matter of fact, what Mohammed says in Fall of America, before I play this clip, he says, this is the number one fall. And it is very clear that the loss of the power of the American dollar means the loss of the financial power of America. So without the dollar, her influence is not only diminished, but it is rebuffed and pushed back within her own borders. Is that not right? And Muhammad says to us that God would deal with America within her own borders after he pushes her out of all of the lands that she has now reached her tentacles into. Is that not right? You know I'm right, black man and black woman. Don't get mad with me. It's your brother. I'm just your little brother. But we got a big man on the scene today. His name is Elijah Muhammad. And his God is vindicating him on a minute-by-minute, second-by-second basis. And we're seeing the nations rise up to challenge American power. Right? Let's go to something. Remember this. I'm talking about the dollar. And I'm talking about the British pound. And so Muhammad says, the stronghold of the American government is falling to pieces. She has lost her prestige among the nations of the earth. One of the greatest powers of America was her dollar. The loss of such power will bring any nation to weakness, for this is the medium of exchange between the nations. The English pound, see again, how he words things. I continue to tell you, when you listen to me, you read along with me if you can. And look at how he words these things and then pose the question, why? And then go and seek the answer. Okay? He says, the English pound. Why did he put the pound before the dollar when he says this? The English pound and the American dollar have been the power and beckoning light of these two great powers. Why didn't he say the American dollar, since it is the world reserve currency? Why did he proceed that with the English pound? It's because Britain stood as the gate maker over all of her colonies, and it was the pound that gave her power. And before the empire started to go in decline, she transitioned to the American way, but she held the reins of power in the gold market, which helped her to cushion her fall a little bit economically, and she tied the pound to the dollar. You understand? And the dollar was tied to gold and silver. Okay? You understand? Now listen. He says, but when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. The financial doom of England and America was sealed. Not the financial doom of America and England. But he said England and America, right? Because these two are the daughters of Babylon. So listen to what they're saying that is happening to the British pound right now.
Of course, the election results have had a major impact on the financial markets. The British pound fell considerably today. For more on that, let's go to Lindsay France, who is the host of Boom Bust here on RT. Lindsay, nice to have you with us tonight. What happened to the British pound?
Well, Ed, we saw an astounding nosedive of the pound right on the heels of the votes coming in. We saw it go up and down just a tiny bit, and then bam, check that out. It just dove down to 124, down from...
So, we see the pound dying, right? it's crashing, right? Now, let's go to the dollar and the gold and the silver that Muhammad just talked about. Remember, England and America side together. The financial prosperity or the financial doom of one means the financial prosperity or the financial doom of both. Is that not right? So, let's go back to the original clip that I intended to play for you all. All right, hopefully we'll get this in. I think the time is almost up. I might have to cut it short, but I want you to listen to most of it, if they allow us to play it. I clicked on it. It may be a pause in it. Here we are. Is it playing? I don't think it's playing. Brothers and sisters, give me a second.
.com by Byron King says, China's next step to destroy the dollar. China is currently modifying the terms of its oil trade with Saudi Arabia. Specifically, China is working on a deal to pay for Saudi oil using Chinese yuan. This effort poses a direct threat to the security of the dollar. If this China-Saudi deal happens, yuan for oil, it's another step closer to the grave for the petrodollar, which has dominated global finance since 1974. You can revisit Jim Reichardt's article about the assault on the dollar here. To recap, the petrodollar is weakening because the dollar is losing power as the world's reserve currency. This is similar to the way pounds sterling gradually fell out of favor during the decline of the British Empire. The decline may take a long time, but what we're seeing today is another step in the death march of the dollar. I'll tell you how to protect your wealth in dollars after I explain this shift. Since 1974, Saudi has accepted payment for almost all of its oil exports to all countries in dollars. This is due to an agreement between Saudi and the US dating back to the days of President Nixon. Beginning about 15 years ago, China ceased being self-sufficient in oil and began buying Saudi oil. As per all Saudi customers, China had to pay in dollars. Even today, China still pays for Saudi oil in US dollars and not yuan, which perturbs China's leaders. Since 2010, China's total oil imports have nearly doubled. According to Bloomberg News, China has surpassed the US as the world's largest oil importing nation. Here's a chart showing the trend. As China imports more and more oil, the idea of paying for that oil in yuan instead of dollars becomes more critical. China does not want to use dollars to buy oil, so China is beginning to squeeze Saudi over the form of currency in which their oil trade is conducted. China is doing this by steadily lowering its oil purchases from Saudi. Presently, China's three top oil suppliers are Russia, Saudi, and the West African nation of Angola. Backing up these three key suppliers are a combination of sources of Iran, Iraq, and Oman, which help to diversify China's oil supply chain. In the past few years, China has shifted oil purchases away from Saudi, and Russia's oil exports have risen from 5% to 15% of the Chinese total. China imports more oil from Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Oman, less from Saudi. Saudi's share of Chinese imports has dropped from 25% in 2008 to under 15% now. Meanwhile, Saudi competitors Russia, Iran, Iraq, and Oman are selling more oil to China. Saudi would like to reverse this declining trend of oil trade with China. However, this kind of major oil flows don't just happen in a vacuum. There's a good reason why Russian oil sales to China are increasing. As you'll see in Nomi's article, trade and financial services are often closely linked. Over the past few years, China has deepened its trading routes with Russia. Now, China pays for Russian oil in yuan. Russia, in turn, uses yuan to buy goods from China. Beyond trade in goods, within the past 6 months, Russia has set up a branch of the Bank of Russia in Beijing. From there, Russia can use its Chinese yuan to buy gold on the Shanghai Exchange. In a sense, Chinese-Russian oil trade is now backed up by a gold standard. Looking ahead, Saudi Arabia will find itself more and more locked out of the Chinese oil market if it won't sell oil for yuan. But to do this, the Saudis must move away from US dollars and from petrodollars if Saudi wants to maintain and increase access to China's oil market. We'll know more about the likelihood of this after Donald Trump's tour of the Middle East. If Saudi begins accepting yuan for oil, all bets are off on the petrodollar. Yuan for oil will entirely change the monetary dynamics of global energy flows. I expect the US dollar to weaken severely when that news breaks. Much of this oil for Yuan news is public information. Yet, for some strange reason, there's a form of blindness within Western policymaking and media circles concerning the implications of Yuan for oil. The idea is so off the wall that many policy leaders simply ignore it. Ignore away. But we could wake up one morning in the midst of a massive currency crisis in which dollar values are falling and oil prices in dollars are soaring. Jim and I strongly recommend a 10% allocation of your investable portfolio to precious metals. Thank you for watching.
So now let me say this. Let me end the show with a few things. I want to end it with a quote, but I also want to go and address something because we were talking about the Saudi and the oil markets and the gold and the petrol yuan versus the petrol dollar and the things that's going on in Qatar. Well, Qatar is not a righteous nation, but at the same time, one of the things that is being left out of the situation that's going on in Qatar that you don't hear in the news is that Qatar and Iran shares the largest oil or gas fields in the world, the largest gas find in the world. And both of them have rights to it, and they have agreements on how to do this. The thing is, America got wind that Iran and Qatar was going to, let me go back a minute. Qatar wanted to go back through Syria, and she got tricked into this, and that's why she had these mercenaries in Syria. I want to backtrack and tell you these things. And now she's caught out there because America's strategy is not working. So she knows that Iran has a hold on the gas field. Iran really has control of the gas fields, to put it like this. But Iran is trying to do right by the gas fields with Qatar. Now, Qatar was in backdoor deals with Russia, China, and Iran, and Syria, to pull out some of these mercenaries in Syria for exchange of China allowing Qatar to get some more of its oil markets. But the deal is this. Qatar to access China, which is the biggest oil consumer and gas consumer, Qatar would have to exchange the dollars for yuan and would have to dump dollars in its transactions with China. This is a no-no to America, and America showed that by taking Saudi Arabia's side. And matter of fact, this was pushed by Israel and America and Arabia. All of them are one and the same, brothers and sisters. So this is about money and trying to keep the empire going, trying to keep the war machine going. You see, she's a bloodshedder. She'll kill off people. She'll demonize anybody. And now she's trying to bribe Qatar by saying that they sent the defense minister over there saying weapons deal. This is how America works. But I want this to end the show with this. I just wanted to put that on your mind so that you can understand some of the things that are going on. It's hard for you to really get it, especially at the end of the show, but I wanted to tie some of these things in, and I want you to look at all the moves that are going on. But here, Muhammad writes concerning America and these wars that she's pushing and these wars that she's trying to push within her borders against black America and the wars that she's trying to push on the outside of America to try to maintain her dominance, to try to maintain her empire, to try to maintain her power, position, and her influence over the nations of the earth. Muhammad tells America, he warns her clearly, and he says this: I say to the whole of the American white people that you can never win against anyone outside or inside of America as long as you seek to mistreat us. As it is written in the Bible, he who contends with thee, Allah, will contend with him and give them their blood to drink like sweet wine. So remember, we are the people of Allah. We make no trouble with anyone, but Allah will retaliate against anyone who makes trouble for us or who seeks to do us harm. Brothers and sisters, let that marinate on your brain and in your soul until the next show. With an undying love and passion for the liberation, the upliftment, and the redemption of 68 million of our kind, first here in America, then the billions around the world, know that your little brother Rashid Muhammad loves you to life, but the love that I have for you always pales in comparison for the love that Almighty God Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises do forever, his messenger, the last and the greatest messenger of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that mighty, mighty, mighty nation of Islam, has for you. Brothers and sisters, stay strong, stay true, but above all, stay righteous. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day.
Said I like the moon I miss. Day to day the rosy tint.